Thanks, Brother Brandon. So, what did we learn? Is there one? I know you talked about a lot of things. Any one real key message come out from some of your groups? I've heard you guys in the discussion groups. No one's shy. Everybody talks in there, which is great. Anybody want to share one now? Any thoughts? Rachel, how about you? All right, well, to get our minds going, one of the ones that we talked about is, what is the scriptural antidote to combat the love of money? And we put that question up, and in our group, Aunt Laura gave us a really interesting verse. And if we just go back to Romans chapter 1, and what is the way to combat the problem of the love of money? Because that's really the problem. It's not money, it's the love of money. And we read here in verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So one thought there, brothers and sisters and young people, is that there was a lack of thankfulness, and society had a lack of thankfulness for what they had. So that's one of the ways. One of the things we also looked at is in the 1 Timothy 6, when Paul is talking about verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, which giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, and I think here's the powerful part, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So I think also one of the scriptural antidotes that I would put forward from 1 Timothy 6 is to realize everything here is temporal and to focus on things that are eternal. Lay up a foundation for the future. Put things in the bank for the future. Not the banks here, but a future bank of that of the kingdom. And I think those are the ways for us to kind of overcome those issues. So in summary, godliness with contentment, that was a really key phrase and a really key expression. A lot of the groups got into that part, I'm sure, right? Godliness with contentment versus gain is godliness, right? Defending and preserving the treasure of the truth, that was another thing that comes out as we go through chapter 6 and 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. So, and again, don't forget, we just go from chapter 6 and we now go a number of years later and it's near the end of Paul's life. So we have to make that transition. Sometimes we just go right from chapter 6 right to chapter 1 of 2 Timothy. This is near the end of Paul's life now. We've probably gone from 64 to about AD 68. So we've skipped a number of years and Paul's at the end of his life. We also see we're to be rich in good works. So rich in good works, that's important. And again, the message, hold fast to the faith, Timothy, because times are going to be tough. Many in the ecclesias in Asia are leaving me, Paul says, and so you got to hold fast to the faith. One of the things that I just wanted to focus on just for the wrap-up session here, how many of you got into a discussion of prayer? I hear... kind of? Okay, good. For those that didn't, I got that from 2 Timothy 1, verse 3, and I thought it was interesting just to pull this out and just to have in our wrap-up today, prayer. So we see 2 Timothy 1, verse 3, was certainly very much a part of Paul's life. Paul talked a lot about it in his first letter. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, Timothy. I pray all the time about you, Timothy. I pray about the ecclesia at Ephesus. I pray that the work that you're doing in Ephesus might go forward. I pray about the brothers and sisters. And so we pray without ceasing. So brothers and sisters, young people, we have to make prayer a part of our life. It's a habit that we have to make in our life. Do we do it every morning faithfully when we get up? And some would say, do you do it during the day, and then do you do it at night? And one of the keys is, as you get older, don't leave it too late at night, because you get so tired, it's hard to concentrate. Try to do it when you're still fresh at night. So make it a real part of our life. Well, what should we pray for? So we put a list of things here about, from the scriptures, of things that we're actually told to pray for. So if you're going to make prayer part of your life, what should I pray for? Well, there's certain things that are more obvious to us. Well, we've learned from 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 to 2, we're supposed to pray for those in authority. How often are we praying about the government? And when we pray to the government, we're asking that we can meet here at the camp, that we're able to continue to teach the truth and to have the ability to meet like we do around our and discuss the readings, which some people in other parts of the world do not have the ability to do that. We're actually told in Romans 10 and 1, Paul says, I pray for Israel. So pray for Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray that that nation might one day accept their Messiah. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Why is it key that we pray for the peace of Jerusalem? What do we know for a fact when we pray that Jerusalem will be at peace? What do we know has to happen before there will be peace there? Right. Righteousness first. Christ has to be back in the earth. That's the beauty of that prayer, of the praying for the peace of Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus Christ will have to be there because righteousness has to always precede peace. We pray for laborers in the service so that there'll be, the Lord tells us to pray that there'll be those to go out and to teach and work in the mission fields, to go out and preach at your next door neighbors. Pray that there'll be people to be able to spread the gospel. Forgiveness and restoration, forgiveness of our sins, strength and help. That's in the letter to the Ephesians. The development of godliness. Help us to develop those spiritual characteristics of godliness. Knowledge and wisdom. So here's a list of 8 things specifically that we can pray for. And I suggest those are things that maybe we could add to our prayers. If our prayers have a certain dimension to them, maybe perhaps every once in a while, adding one of these to our prayers. And for you that are taking a list, here's some more. Deliverance from evil, Jesus tells us. Salvation. The welfare of others in other countries. Pray for our brothers and sisters in other parts of this world. Self-examination. Help us to examine ourselves for guidance, for education and divine principles, for spiritual balance, the blessings of providence, that God might give us our daily food and to be thankful for those type of things. So, again, a number of things that we can pray for. And for those of you who just about have the list, I've got just a few more. Understanding and endurance under trials. God, help us to get through the trials. Our daily bread, Jesus tells us. The coming of the kingdom, when God will be obeyed. Preaching the gospel, the conversion of all men. And even praise for those who hate us and despitefully use us, because they might be converted. The prayer of Stephen was answered with Paul. And because of that, we get to study his letter to Timothy. You ever thought about that? So we're thankful that Stephen prayed for forgiveness for those that were there stoning him. And Paul was a result of that. It's an incredible thing when you think about it. So that's what we should pray for. Now, when are prayers not heard? Well, prayers are not heard if we're prideful. When iniquity's in our heart, if we forsake God, and I like this verse, it's a very powerful verse. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 24. Let's look this one up. Proverbs 24 and at verse 28. That's not the verse I want. Where is it? It's the one that talks about if you pray, if you don't read God's word, he will not hear you when you pray. Yeah, there's that, but there, yeah.
13, verse 13.
Whoso despises the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. No, that's not the one. It's actually, it has the idea that if you don't read God's word, when you go to him in prayer, he will not hear your prayer. In other words, if you don't read, your prayers is not heard. I'll find it for you. I thought I had that there. Sorry about that. But it's very powerful. I remember Uncle Bob Lloyd used to always use that as one of his key ones. He goes, I didn't write this. In other words, if we're not going to read from the scriptures, the Lord doesn't hear our prayer. It's a very, very sobering section. Also, if we're willfully disobedient, God doesn't hear, or pray for selfish reasons. So when we pray, we can't be selfish about our prayers. Pray for others. So there's a good list here to be careful when prayers are not heard. And we have to pray with the right attitude. A couple of ways to think about prayer: make our words brief. Pray with humility. Be specific in our prayers. At night when we pray, if we're praying for forgiveness, if we've done certain things that we know we've done are wrong, it's good to actually be specific about what we did wrong in going to God in prayer. Be specific about it. He wants to hear it. He knows what we did. He saw it. The angel saw it. But he wants us to be specific. And in our prayers, we want to be reverential in our prayers. And we want to make prayer a habit. Do it often. Do it as often as we can. And they don't have to be formal. They can be just in your head. They can be very, very quick. We've seen examples in the scriptures where prayer is done in a very quick manner. So it doesn't always have to be long. So I think we'll leave it there. So we wanted just to pick up just a little bit about prayer, make prayer a big part of our life. Take that example from the Apostle Paul, that he prayed without ceasing, and let's make that a part of our life in the truth.